My name is Rosa Lowinger. I'm a conservator of sculpture and architecture working in Los Angeles and Miami. And I was very fortunate in the early 2000s to have been contacted by the Getty Conservation Institute to provide consulting services for a project to restore Helen Lundenberg's History of Transportation mural for the city of Inglewood, California. History of Transportation is a 240-foot long, 60-panel mural by painter Helen Lundenberg that was created in 1939 and unveiled in 1940 under the WPA Works Project Administration. And the most significant thing about it is that it was made of an unusual material called petrochrome, which is a terrazzo-like formulation consisting of a matrix and aggregate. What is particularly interesting about petrochrome is that it is a material that is labor-intensive to produce. And it was partially because of the fact that it was labor-intensive that it was used for this project, because during the WPA period, there was an effort to employ artists, so having something that took longer to make was more desirable than a quick material. The other thing about petrochrome, though, is that it is a porous material. And the reason why we began the conservation project in the early 2000s was because the mural had been tagged by graffiti writers repeatedly for many years. The mural's location was significant at the time of its construction. It was created to be positioned along a corridor that connected downtown Los Angeles with the Port of Los Angeles. This was before the freeways were constructed, however, and once the freeways were constructed, this no longer became a very used thoroughfare for traffic. As a result, the mural became sort of abandoned. It then became a hotly contested gang area, and a lot of graffiti was done on the mural. By the time that our team investigated the mural, it was so tagged that you couldn't see the surface. There were layers and layers of graffiti on the mural itself, and many of these layers had penetrated into the porous structure of the petrochrome. When the Getty Conservation Institute first contacted Sculpture Conservation Studio, which was the firm that I directed at the time, to look at the mural, we were only considering the possibility of removing the graffiti and making repairs. But it became quickly clear that to do the work and leave the mural in that location would have been meaningless. The area was not a well-trafficked area. Nobody could see the mural in that location. And it would have been subject to the same kind of attack right away. In order to move a site-specific, large-scale work such as the mural, we needed to really think first about whether that was appropriate from a historic preservation standpoint. So a panel of experts was convened, consisting of conservators, an engineer, Melvin Green of Melvin Green and Associates, Toby Moss, an art dealer who had been Ms. Lundenberg's dealer, Leslie Elwood, a public art consultant who works all over Southern California, and directors from the City of Inglewood Public Art Division. We studied carefully what were the precedents for moving such a mural and coordinated it with the California State Historic Preservation Officer. And the conclusion was that in order to preserve the artwork, this was an appropriate approach. The mural was moved to a more visible site within Inglewood itself, and it served as the centerpiece for what has become an art park for the city. The process of conservation of the mural first began with deinstallation of the panels. We began with a pilot project to see, was it possible to deinstall the panels? And luckily, they were not mortared onto the retaining wall. They were hung in a manner that allowed for their removal. They were done with wires that came out of the back of the concrete substrate and were plastered onto the original retaining wall. So it was possible to start at one end, cut the wires, and remove the mural panels. There are 60 of these panels. So the panels were stored on site in the city of Inglewood, and they were taken into the Sculpture Conservation Studio offices, four at a time, for work. We had different types of damage to these panels. The most visible damage was, of course, the layers of graffiti. However, the graffiti itself was not ultimately the biggest challenge. It was the repair of the petrochrome itself. Petrochrome is a process that was developed in Roman times, but fell out of favor, particularly because it is labor-intensive to produce, and there are other ways of achieving the same effect. We found that many of the panels were damaged. There were cracks. There was corrosion to the rebar that strengthened the concrete substrate. There was extraordinary amounts of erosion and disaggregation of the matrix that held the petrochrome in place, and many, many poor repairs that had to be removed. So the process was lengthy. It took us about 3 years to complete the entire restoration process. Helen Lundenberg was not a mosaic or petrochrome artist. She was a painter, and the design for History of Transportation began as a drawing of the 60 panels. These drawings were then transferred to large-scale cartoons that were used as the templates for the pour of the petrochrome. And the way the petrochrome was poured, it was poured upside down into forms that were inlaid with metal strips to separate the different colors of petrochrome. Once the colors of the petrochrome had set, then a 1.5-inch pour of cast concrete with a wire reinforcement was poured onto the back of each panel. This concrete backing serves as the structural support for the petrochrome, because the petrochrome itself does not have a lot of structural integrity. So each panel that we took out weighed about 400 pounds, and they were forklifted out. With the petrochrome, the stones, the aggregate, were laid in first, and then the matrix, which is a Portland cement based concrete matrix that was colored per panel. That was laid on top, allowed to dry. On top of that, they poured regular cast concrete with a chicken wire and rebar reinforcement. One of the structural challenges was removing the most heavily corroded of the rebar reinforcements, or cleaning and repairing those that could be salvaged. There was a lot of drilling into the panels and reinforcing them in different ways to make sure that they had structural integrity. We also waterproofed the back of each panel, because one of the things that was causing some of this corrosion was water impregnating from the back. One of the interesting challenges in the removal of the graffiti was that the thicker areas of graffiti could be easily taken off with a combination of hot pressure washing and paint strippers. But beneath these layers of thick, continuous graffiti, you had layers that had been there for 20 or 30 years that had penetrated the matrix. And once we had removed the thicker layers on the outside, there was no binder left in these layers. All you had was mineral pigments embedded into the surface. They were shadows of the former graffiti. It wasn't anything very thick or prominent, but we all recognized that you couldn't leave any ghosting of graffiti on these panels, or it would invite more graffiti. So we then had to consider how to remove these pigments that were embedded into the matrix without causing additional damage to the panels or removing a great deal of the original matrix. We did some research on the topic and did testing on various kinds of soft powder abrasive blasting methods, and wound up using aluminum oxide at very low pressure in localized areas to just get rid of that ghosting. Another aspect of the treatment that required some decision making was how would we compensate the areas that had been completely lost. For example, there were some panels in the center of the mural that had been hit by a car probably 30 years prior to the conservation project. There was one that was completely gone. There was one that was partially gone.
and had repairs done in ugly gray cement. In order for us to recreate these panels, we had to consider how to do it. Creating a new petrochrome panel or a new petrochrome area would have required extraordinary amounts of investigation, location of original aggregates, laying them in exactly the way they had been done originally, and there was a 9 out of 10 chance that it would have looked different no matter what. It was an option. However, another option was to put in colored neutral areas done in conservation grade repair mortars that were pigmented to match the general color of each panel. And that's what the choice was in the end. The city of Inglewood, of course, weighed in. The state historic preservation officer weighed in. We arrived at repairs that would blend the original and would neutralize if you looked at them from a distance of 4 to 5 feet. But if you came close to the panel, you would clearly see that these were repair areas. That type of compensation is in keeping with the type of compensation that is done with important historic murals and mosaics, where you don't try to replace the original with something that would fool the viewer, but something that would allow readability while maintaining honesty about what the process was. Another interesting facet of this process was the move of the panels to the new wall. The state historic preservation officer, at the time a gentleman named Steed Crago, was very insistent that not only did the wall have to have the exact same curvature as the original, but that it needed to be created in the same way as the original, which was a poured-in-place cast concrete construction. It would have been more economical and quicker to do a concrete block wall that was infilled. The SHPO felt that in keeping with the philosophy that went behind the WPA program, which was that a more labor-intensive fabrication was the goal to keep artists employed, we had to do the same for the new wall. And so the other thing, in terms of the curvature, at Gravilla Park opposite Inglewood High School, where the mural ultimately was installed, there was not room for that curved wall without taking out some old and important trees. So that had to be done. In the end, the configuration of the mural as it is today in Gravilla Park is exactly in keeping with where it was originally in its location along Florence Avenue. Another component that had to be considered was more graffiti, because it's the public and this is something that happens. So the mural was coated not only with a consolidant to consolidate the matrix in areas where it was disaggregating, but it has a water repellent / anti-graffiti coating that is very useful when it occasionally does get tagged, which it does once in a while, not nearly as much as it did before, but once in a while. And it allows for a very quick and easy removal of the graffiti. And the city has a contract with a conservation firm to do this work.